Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
The disciples of John approached Jesus and said, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast much, but your disciples do not fast?" Jesus answered them, "Can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. No one patches an old cloak with a piece of unshrunken cloth, for its fullness pulls away from the cloak and the tear gets worse. People do not put new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise the skins burst, the wine spills out, and the skins are ruined. Rather, they pour new wine into fresh wineskins, and both are preserved." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today, as we celebrate the feast of Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati, along with all of those in Turin, because you know that it is verboten to be able to do these types of feast days because cultists of saints, our blesseds are local, even though we're living in an international world. It's one of the types of things that would change in my first nanosecond if the Holy Spirit were ever idiotic enough to give me a chance to do something about this. But today's gospel, in today's first reading, are commentaries on the life of Pier Giorgio that we have to take seriously, because what the Lord did in and through him, he wants to do in and through us. In a country that needs to be taught again the real meaning and purpose of freedom on this Independence Day. The first reading, many of us are scandalized when we read the account of the blessing of Jacob and the deception that led to it. Over and over again, even taking on the name of God, there was a deception of an old blind man by his wife and by his son, who was supposed to honor and reverence him and was doing quite the opposite, playing for a fool. And we can start to think that the whole reason why Jacob was blessed was because of Isaac's blessing. It had nothing to do with Isaac's blessing. Jacob was blessed despite his sin because of God's blessing. It wasn't this magical act here. And what God was teaching us in that act is that the Lord doesn't choose the firstborn. The Lord doesn't always choose according to worldly categories. And so even though everybody knew it was supposed to be Esau, who was the first one out of the womb to be blessed and to receive all the rights and privileges of primogeniture, God had chosen Jacob, and the blessing was going to come through Jacob. We see the same thing, of course, with David, who was the least. We see the same thing of Gideon, who was the least. We see it throughout, that God was not choosing the likely ones, because the Lord exalts the humble and puts the proud down from their high horses. We'll see that with Pier Giorgio Frassati, and the shocker that came both to the poor as well as to his parents on his funeral. Second is this incredibly powerful gospel reading on which we could preach whole retreats. And if there's one passage of sacred scripture that Sisters of Life ought to know, I would say it would be this one. At least this is a real candidate. We missed a scene yesterday when we had the Feast of St. Thomas, but it would have been the scene of Jesus in Matthew's house having that big banquet for sinners after he had called Matthew. And the Pharisees were disgusted, scandalized that Jesus was even eating with sinners. But the disciples of John the Baptist didn't have all the answers. They had a lot of questions. And they were somewhat surprised as well, because John seemed to have been castigating them as he was calling them into conversion, the very people with whom Jesus seemed to be partying. And they came with a little bit of a different question. Why do we and the Pharisees fast much, but your disciples don't? They were being very respectful to Jesus. They could have said, "Why don't you fast?" But they thought that he could be exceptional. So they were at least asking, "Why don't your disciples fast?" Jesus gave a very important principle. Can the wedding guests, terrible translation, it means the sons of the wedding chamber. All of Jesus' groomsmen, all of the members of the wedding party, can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? That it would almost be a sin to mourn in the presence of a wedding reception, and the wedding reception was happening. This is a sign of the type of joy that a Christian is supposed to have. Jesus describes later, the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away, and the Greek verb there is incredibly violent, and it was the word used when Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. There will be a time when the bridegroom is ripped away, and then they will fast. They'll fast precisely in order to enter into his passion. They'll fast in order to increase their hunger so that the Lord will feed them precisely with what he knows they need to eat. But that's the new purpose of fasting. It's not to become a spiritual hero. It's not just to acquire self-mastery. It's to empty yourself of what you depend on so that God can give us what we really need. It's a new type of nourishment, a hunger for what God hungers. Every word that comes from his mouth and the word that's meant to be infleshed in us. Jesus gives two analogies which describe who he is. No one patches an old cloak with a piece of unshrunken cloth, for its fullness pulls away from the cloak and the tear gets worse. Jesus can't be a patch. Jesus isn't someone who's just going to come and tinker a little bit with Judaism to fix a couple of its mistakes and troubleshoot and then bring it up higher. Jesus was coming precisely in order to be the new clothing, put on Christ, as St. Paul will say later. And it's not enough for him to patch. Why? He calls himself in Greek the Pleroma, for its fullness, for its plenitude, will pull away from the cloak and it won't be able to stand. Jesus is coming to invest us with himself as our baptismal garment, as that wedding garment in a sense, not just a patch. Likewise, people don't put new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the skins burst, the wine spills out, and the skins are ruined. There weren't bottles in the ancient world, there were these skins. The new skins could absorb the fermentation of the new wine and expand with them, but the older skins that were already taut, if you had filled them with the new wine, as the fermentation happened, it would burst them, and both wine and skins would be lost. Jesus is saying we need to be new containers in order to receive the fullness of his newness. Who was that new vessel? It was the Blessed Virgin, somebody who had kept her freshness from the Lord, had kept the grace, who had been filled with grace, ke keratomene. She was able to receive within that fullness, not a patch, but the fullness. She was able to receive within the fullness of the outpouring of the Lord. And we're called to learn from her how to receive the Lord in a similar way, with joy, with total openness, with a hunger for what the Lord is asking. How does any of this have to do with Pier Giorgio Frassati? The real reason why Pier Giorgio was so popular among people who are ever young is not because he was the holy hunk with the dark Italian eyebrows that young Catholic women say, ooh, if only every boy could be like him. He's not because he's the patron saint of young boys who want to smoke pipes and play pool and hike up tall mountains and be life of the party. The real reason why Pier Giorgio Frassati is so popular and will remain so popular is because he was a saint of joy. A saint who knew how to have fun. He was somebody who grasped that the bridegroom was with us. And so he wasn't going to be a somber liver of the gospel or proclaimer of the gospel. He was going to be one who would do it with a profound smile that came from his heart out. That's the reason why he's so fundamentally attractive. Because he is the incarnation of Evangelium Gaudium. He was at the same time the enfleshment of Laudato Si, somebody who saw all that God had given as an incredible blessing that should fill us with natural and supernatural joys. Those joys radiated in Pier Giorgio Frassati. And it overflowed. He wanted to share that joy and the love that causes that joy with others. As a young boy, you know his story. Somebody rang on the house, rang on his house as he was growing up. His dad was a famous agnostic, more an atheist than an agnostic, really, who founded La Stampa newspaper, which is still around, who was a senator, who was eventually the ambassador of Italy to Germany. And his dad was a fighter, trying to fight against the fascists, and his heart had become hardened in a lot of ways. His mom was a very gifted artist. She was a nominal Christian. She tried to teach him the faith, but she was afraid that he was going too far in the faith, taking it a little bit too seriously. One day, a poor person rang on the door of their very wealthy estate, and the mom was asking for some alms, and he saw a boy about his age with that mom with no shoes, and so he took off his shoes and he gave it to the boy. A little bit later, on a day in which it was 10 degrees Fahrenheit there in Turin, he had seen a poor man. He took off his winter coat and gave it to the poor man. And his dad upbraided him when he had returned home. "Where is your coat?" And he said, "Fa freddo, papa. It's cold outside, father." His father said, "I know it's cold. Where's your coat?" He said, "The poor man was colder than I." He would often be criticized by his mom for arriving home late for dinner. He was arriving home late because he was running home, because he had given his train money to the poor. When he would travel, even though he was a member of basically the aristocracy and was certainly from a very wealthy family, when he would travel on the train, he would travel on the third class, where he should have, for lots of reasons, been traveling in the first class. And when one of his pals asked him, "Why do you travel third class?" he said famously, "Because there is no fourth class." He's always taken that lowest place. When he was 17, he joined the St. Vincent de Paul Society in order to take Jesus and his love out to the poor. And slowly he started to give everything that he had for them. He gave his time, gave money. It helped with medicines that they'd need. It certainly helped with food. It helped with rent. It helped educate the kids of overwhelmed widows were trying, as single moms, to raise their children. And when he caught polio from one of the women he was curing, a very virulent form that would generally end a person's life within a week, his grandmother was likewise dying, so he didn't even tell his family members what he himself was going through so that they'd be able to care for her. At the very end, when she died, he revealed how sick he was. But even when his hand was paralyzed, he was doing the best job that he can with his other hand to write a note for one of the fellow Vincentians to make sure that this person would receive his injections on the morrow, and passed on to his sister the book in which he had scrupulously written all the poor people he was helping so that they wouldn't go without. At the very end of his joyful life, when he died, his parents were expecting all the aristocracy to come out and pour their condolences to the son of a famous couple. And the streets were mobbed by the poor, and the parents didn't know why. And the poor didn't know that he was a Frassati. He was just called Fra Girolamo as he went out to care for them. As a member of the Dominican laity, Third Order Dominican, he had taken the name of Girolamo Savonarola, and everybody just called him by that religious name. Neither had any idea that the person they knew as their son and their benefactor was a child of the wedding chamber, someone who had been filled with the wine that Christ had come to give, somebody who was vested in the very virtues of Christ. As Pope Benedict himself said, quoting John Paul II, that that he was a man fully of the Beatitudes, who had sought to imitate Christ and Christ's joy and Christ's blessedness to the letter. Today, as we come forward, we remember his motto, verso l'alto, toward the top, as we prepare to lift up our hearts to heaven. And we ask through his intercession that he might intercede for us, that in our culture, which so much needs to see real Christianity after having rejected a false notion that they think enslaves rather than liberates, that we might live as sons and daughters of that same wedding chamber, hungering for the things that God gives, living with his virtues in such a way that others, in meeting us, might meet the one who fills us every day with this spiritual drink and sends us out as his body, beating with his heart, filled with his blood for the salvation of those we encounter. Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati, pray for us.